Still Unknown, a ministry of Carmen United Church in City Mines. Today's message is looking at 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 24. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, we gather here this morning, just waiting for your word to speak to us, waiting to hear of how we can love one another as you've asked us to love. And so, God, as we do gather around your word today, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but over the last few weeks or even months, it's been hard to watch the news, hasn't it? I mean, all that's been going on in the world, and certainly most particular what's been happening in the United States. First, there were the fires, and we had fires ourselves in Western Canada. Then there were the hurricanes and the floods. And then there were the mass shootings. And then, of course, there's more fires going on right now. But on top of all that, we're at a time when we look for hope. And when there's a lot of disaster happening, you look for hope from the government. And in for Americans' case, they look to Trump. And I'm sorry if this offends any of you, but the guy just guts me of any hope. People have died at the hands of a violent man in Las Vegas. People are suffering without the basic necessities of life in Puerto Rico: food, water, electricity. Thousands of buildings have been burned to the ground in California, and dozens of people have lost their lives. It's hard to watch as some of the deadliest hurricanes ever have hit populated areas of the world. It's hard to watch one of the deadliest mass shootings in American history. It's hard to watch the most devastating wildfires ever in California. It's hard to watch a government, and it's not just Trump, but men and women elected to represent the people. It's hard to watch a government vote against releasing money to give to those people in need, which has just happened. Is this how Jesus responds in a crisis? I mean, there have been incredible stories come out of these disasters. People doing amazing things in order to be with and to help strangers and neighbors. Beautiful stories. Powerful stories of people giving sacrificially to someone else in aid. Sometimes even at great risk to their own lives. And we must not forget these amazing things that are happening. But we also must not forget the response of those who are speaking on behalf of their country and their people when they say you can't get any help. Even in Canada, we are not immune to this kind of failure of a government. You know, our Prime Minister just a few weeks ago identified our great injustices in dealing with our native community. Yet, what's been done to help them? What's been done to improve their living conditions, including giving them access to clean water for bathing and drinking? Something we've heard plenty about just here in Cape Breton. Well, nothing's been done yet. We need to remember we're not an insular society. How we live our lives impacts others. Where we shop, what we buy, what we throw in the garbage, it all has an impact on the world. It's all part of the global economy. We don't tend to think a lot about it. We just automatically do these things, for good or for bad. But it happens. This is what the first sentence from the reading from John got me thinking about today, 1 John. It's right there in the first verse that we read. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. This message is not new to us. Jesus himself commanded us to love. And we can look at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and read about what he taught at the very beginning of his ministry. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the good and on the evil. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." This is what he taught right at the very beginning of his ministry. And if you flip to the end of his ministry, the message has not changed. If you look at John chapter 21, it says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And after saying this to him, he said, "Follow me." How do we care for others? How do we tend God's sheep? We love them. We love them as Jesus loves us, which is without condemnation and with an invitation to live lives worthy of God. Or as Jesus puts it a number of times, "Go and sin no more." I've been to a number of events over the last few weeks, the last month, that have had a similar reoccurring theme. When this happens, it's a good time to listen and take notice to what might be happening, because there may be a message God is trying to get to you. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about the various events, because I could be here all day talking about those. But what struck me, and it was kind of the last event that happened, I was listening to a friend's testimony the other evening that she had emailed me. She's a woman my age who had recently given her life to Christ. And so what struck me about all these stories that I've been hearing lately about these people, and these people, they all thought they were right with God. They all kind of believed in God, but they all had significant sin in their lives. But now they're experiencing much more when they remove the sin and give their lives to God. These people all believed in God in some way or another, some more than others, but they all had the significant sin in their lives. All kinds of different sin, which they had all attributed to the normal state of their lives. It's the sins which they had decided were simply, "This is who I am. It's never going to change." But as they were drawn to God, God showed them their sin was not how he created them, but instead, there were things that they had either had pushed on them or sins that they had just chosen over the course of their lives that had led to them to live whatever way they were living. Once they realized that God was revealing the sin to them, their lives have been forever changed as they turn away from their sins and embrace the love of God and the life God has in store for them as their Father in heaven. These are all powerful stories we would never hear if they had not turned their hearts to God. And in every case I've heard over this past month, it was someone who had reached out to them in a time of need that allowed them to experience this power of God in their lives. Whether it was just a word or offering to pray with them or being a friend to them, some way in which they shared God's love, just through their actions mostly. It's not an easy thing to overcome, though. For some of these people who have turned away from this sin in their lives, they've been ostracized by their friends who knew them as this person who always acted this way. Friends who did not like the changes in their lives. Some of the people have been supported, but not in all cases. Being the light of Christ in the world of darkness, the world of sin, is not easy. Think about it. If we're going to be a light in the darkness, we're going to stand out. We're going to be exposed. We're going to be noticed. You know what? The devil doesn't like that. He would be very happy if we just sang our songs and prayed here in the church. The devil has no problem with what we do here today. When he has a problem is when what we do here today out with us when we leave and start to do these things that God's calling us to do in the world around us. Once we step out of this building and let Christ's light shine through us, then we're kind of making ourselves a target for those people who wish to remain in darkness. And John even acknowledges us this in our reading today, in verses 13 and 14, when he says, "Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death." This may sound intimidating or even daunting at times to think about that if we stand up for our faith, we can come under attack. But here's the good news. When we submit ourselves to God in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we are protected. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to take a shot now and again, because we will. We may get hurt at times standing up for our faith. But we will not lose the battle. We will not lose the war because God is on our side. So how do we know that God's on our side? Well, we just look to the cross. Jesus gave his life for ours. On the cross, Jesus breathed his last breath and died so that we may live. That's how we know God is on our side, that Jesus shed his blood for us. And we're going to celebrate that in communion soon. That's how we know God's on our side. There's going to be times when we doubt our ability, when we might even doubt God's presence. It's in these times of struggle that maybe we're feeling down, maybe we're feeling unsure of ourselves, or maybe we're unsure that we just, if we have the strength to go another day even. Well, John has something to say about these times as well. Go back to verses 19 and 20. They're going to be slightly different than what we heard. "By this we shall know that we are the truth. We are of the truth, and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything." God is greater than our heart. What powerful words for us to consider this morning. I know some people over the last couple weeks that have told me they've been under spiritual attack. They're not sleeping. They're having nightmares. People are standing up against them and speaking out against them. All sorts of real-world struggles that are being battled in their spiritual lives, in their spirits. But they've not given up. Some of them even feel a bit empowered by this. They feel strengthened because they know if they're in a spiritual battle, that if the devil's rising up against them, then they've got to be doing something right for God, if that's the case. Right? They're being exposed. They're being a light. They're standing out. Now, yeah, sure, they get frustrated. Yes, they're tired from sleepless nights. yet they continue with confidence because they understand God knows far more than they ever could know. They know that God is greater than their hearts and will carry them through. The last couple of verses of our reading from John today say this. 1 John. This is verses 21 to 24. We have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive for him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the result of submitting ourselves to God in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, which allows God to speak into our lives as the authoritative voice above all others. We let him abide in us as we seek to abide in him. We have confidence, we have God, because we follow his commands for us. We take what Jesus has done on the cross for our sin, and we live as children of God, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit that God offers us. I think back to those presentations and the stories I've been hearing recently about people who have found a life-changing experience in God, who loves them more than they love themselves. People who thought they could never, ever change because of who they saw themselves as, how they viewed themselves, to the point where some of them were even unsure they could live another day. Yet God came to them and showed them they are so much more than what they had been led to believe about themselves. They felt unloved, and some of them looked for love in all sorts of places. But God showed them that he loves them more than all those things. And they felt useless. Yet God showed them they have an incredible value to give back to the world. And God is even using some of them to share their stories to inspire others to change. They felt ashamed because of who they were, because of their sin. But God showed them to rejoice because he did not see them as they had become. But God saw them as how he created them to live, a way of life they had never known because they had chosen other paths. God is showing them how he would have them live. And the shame that they have experienced for so much of their lives is gone as they embrace a new life in Christ. So how did they come to know these things? Because someone stepped out and offered them God's love when they needed it. Usually it was someone they knew, but a couple of times it was strangers. People they had just met who offered words of hope as a representative of Jesus Christ in their lives. They loved them. They were friends to them. They prayed with them. I don't know if any of you have stories like these. If you don't, that's okay. Not everyone has these same sorts of struggles. It's not a requirement for becoming a believer in Jesus Christ. These stories, though, they inspire us. They ask us to reconsider our own relationship with God, to help us grow in our own faith. I know that through hearing these stories, I myself have grown in my own understanding of my faith. Like I said, a repetitive message is something we need to pay attention to. It could be God trying to grab our attention to teach us something, to tell us something about the world or about ourselves. So we need to stop and listen to what God might be having to say. God is greater than our hearts. God is bigger than we could ever fully know while we're living our lives on this earth. We do our best to live as he asks us to live. We seek to keep his commands. We seek to let him live in us as we seek to live in him through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So what is God trying to say to you today? Is he trying to get your attention to tell you something? Is he trying to tell you how much he loves you? Is he asking you to share this love with someone else? Whatever he's trying to tell you, it's going to be bathed in love for you. He is greater than our hearts. He is God Almighty, creator of all things, including you as a child of God. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the abundant blessings you give us. Sometimes we get a taste of what you have for us and we want more. We want to feast with you. And so we ask you to make yourself known. Help us to follow your commands in our lives and give us the confidence to speak in love to those who need you too. Father, we ask to know your love even more as we seek to avoid our sin and our temptation so we can walk ever closer to you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.